Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting to you from behind the enemy lines. I refer to as USA Inc. It is a Tuesday afternoon here in North Carolina. It's not as hot as it was yesterday. Got a little bit of cooling rain overnight, so that's a good thing. So I hope that my voice finds you in relative safety behind these enemy lines, because the stories that we will focus on today, just two of them, I really just want to focus on these two, just want to get the information and get off the airwaves and get to work producing more media. And last night in Baltimore County, Maryland, you may have heard a 23-year-old mother by the name of Corinne Gaines was shot and killed in what appears to be an apartment complex, and her 5-year-old son was shot, and he is reportedly recovering from non-life-threatening gunshot injuries. Now, who shot him? That would be the SWAT team of Baltimore County. I don't know if they use the Baltimore City SWAT team. I don't know, but this occurred in a small town outside of Baltimore City, but it is in Baltimore County. And a SWAT team was called out, and this is the result. We have a 23-year-old mother who is dead and her 5-year-old son who is recovering from gunshot wounds. Now, these facts are not in dispute, but the backstory is still developing. This, again, occurred last night. So, as a person who considers themselves a journalist and try to take, you know, this kind of news when we report these things very seriously and to look at them from every angle and, you know, not just to talk about it, to be talking about it, but, you know, what did the victim do that could have perhaps saved her life, prevented her son from getting shot? But I must stress, all we have is one side of the story, that is the police story. But there is some video starting to emerge. I mean, there's so many things to talk about in this story. I just, you know, really want to get to it. But again, we got to look at this from all angles. Now, there's one thing that is perfectly inexcusable. There's no way you can come up with an excuse for a SWAT team going in with live ammo, meaning, you know, bullets that kill, when they knew ahead of time that there was a child, because they reported hearing a child crying inside. Again, they were trying to serve a warrant. So she was, in fact, as we refer to on New Abolitionist Radio, as a runaway slave. She did not want to go to jail. She failed to appear allegedly in court on charges related to a traffic stop. From what I, again, these all these reports are just fresh. It hasn't even been 24 hours yet. But allegedly, she was pulled over for littering. That turned into disorderly conduct and resisting arrest charges. So I imagine she was eventually arrested, put into jail, bonded out of jail, and then she had a court date. And allegedly, she didn't make this court date. She didn't go for whatever reason, and they sent three police officers to arrest her to serve this warrant for her missing this court date. And this is very unusual because, you know, I have missed court dates. Many people have missed court dates. And, you know, they usually do not come to your house like that. They don't send officers to your house like that to arrest. They wait to catch you out there on the road. You know, really, if you think about it, that policy is safer for everybody, safer for the slave catchers serving a warrant. And it's safer for everyone who may be in the house, including children. So it is unexcusable for this highly trained slave catching unit known as SWAT. It's just indefensible unless your position is that this 5-year-old child, a boy, his life did not matter. So regardless of the actions of the child's mother, what I'm saying is the SWAT team, the police, law enforcement, the slave catchers had a duty to protect that life of that child, even if the actions of the parent was what was putting the child in danger. You don't escalate the situation. You don't go in with, you know, an exchange gunfire. Again, all of this is based on several media reports. I usually try to, you know, stick to the credible sources of alternative media, so the facts are still developing. Don't know if there is any body cam footage. I know Baltimore City, because of the prosecutor, what's her name, Marilyn Mosby, said through the whole process with the Freddie Gray and the uprising and some of the reforms put in place, and one of the things was a body cam on every cop. And but again, this wasn't in Baltimore City, it was in Baltimore County. I don't know if that included the county police or the SWAT. So I mean, again, all we have, unless, you know, the 5-year-old is articulate enough to tell what he saw. But then again, there's also video. She was live streaming this whole ordeal. And you could see on one frame, a short video, the SWAT team officer standing there off to the corner like he, you know, hiding behind the wall, peeping at her while she's recording him. But he has his weapon pointed at her. So there are all kind of allegations. They're saying that she had a rifle. The reports was she was just sitting there with the rifle or long gun. It's obviously a rifle or a shotgun on her lap. And so, but I got a message from somebody who knows somebody, knows one of the family members, and they were trying to get them connected with us. We might be able to get them on New Abolitionist Radio. I did not hear from them in time to get the family member side. But the indication to me was is that, you know, she did not have a gun, and there was also a report that there was another man in the house who was also wanted for a warrant, an assault warrant, is what some of the sources said. But the message that I got was that that's not true. There is video and audio of, and you know, she, from what I can gather, from what has been reported from people who knew her or associated with her online, followed her online for I think about 1.5, 2 years, maybe she had been documenting her interactions with police, and she said that, you know, she was being harassed by police. Now, whenever we're talking about women, we also have to know that, you know, a lot of times women get pulled over because the cop want to try to get their number or hit on them or something like that, or God forbid, it's a Daniel Holesclaw, you know. And so, but she was documenting all this stuff, and I heard that all of her accounts was deleted, you know, the videos deleted, the live stream ceased up. This was obviously on Facebook, and so when I hear about this stuff, you know, I'm more inclined to, because people say, well, why not get an alternate Facebook or somebody, you know. Well, sometimes, you know, people build stuff, and people who call for it, they don't come. They still stay on the white-owned platform or the Slave Masters platform, and, you know, whatever the excuses they have to you know, preach Black Dollars Matter and still be giving their dollars to a white person, a white platform that, you know, may have one token Black person working for them, if that, you know. So, I mean, I have already looked into it. I've already got looked at the software. You know, if somebody want to donate $200, or two people want to donate $100 a piece, I can build a clone of Facebook. The software is out there. It's just like Facebook, just little differences, because there are things I don't like on Facebook. I know they're suppressing certain stories, like criticism of Israel and its treatment of the Palestinians and the Black Jews. They suppress those stories as well. So a lot of things go on Facebook that I would consider a violation of free speech. So I can build a clone of Facebook, but are people going to support it, you know? So I was thinking, you know, go ahead and throw it up there and then charge people, if it ain't nothing but $2 a month, to access this clone of Facebook that is a free speech zone. You have to join, so only adults will be allowed, you know, have subscriptions. So, I mean, I'm just trying to think of solutions to these different problems, but they said that, you know, everything, her accounts were deleted, is some of what some of the people were seeing on social media that knew her or followed her on social media. You know, it's all very odd. It's all very odd, you know. Again, even if we want to just look at, okay, let's accept that she did what they said she did, okay, and she was sitting there with a gun, you know, there's a 5-year-old child in the room, and why do cops keep going into these situations with lethal force? You know, they have bean bags, they have rubber bullets, they have other means, and don't give me that stuff about a cop has a right to make it home to their families too. No, they don't. A citizen, and especially a 5-year-old child, has more of a right to not be shot and killed. Again, you know, if we accept the media report, obviously she wasn't acting in a codified manner, one that would had surviving the encounter in mind. Who knows? She might have been wanting to commit Mecca. So we look at it from that. Well, why would you commit Mecca with a 5-year-old in the house? So it's not the victim blame, but it is, you know, it just trying to look at this from all different angles. Maybe she was fed up and tired and didn't want to be a slave. And then looking at the Freddie Gray case and all these cops getting off, and, you know, the implication that the injustice system is telling her is that Freddie Gray broke his own spine. And everybody know, physicians have stated, you know, they have observed it, that his spine was injured or almost severed before they placed him into that van. So it was the arresting officers who had him pent up like a pretzel, because I remember the first report. I shared the video of the guy in the neighborhood who recorded it. So, you know, she could be in distraught. Certainly a lot of Black people, other non-white people, suffer from stress disorders. There's nothing post about it, because, you know, this is ongoing stress that's being inflicted upon them. And so she obviously, if we accept the reports, had a snap. So again, how does that excuse the 5-year-old in the room, unless his life didn't matter? So, you know what I'm saying? When I signed up to be a soldier for white supremacy, when I joined the United States military as a 20-year-old. I was 20 years old when I signed up, went through basic training, turned 21 that November. I didn't think I had a right when I was over there in Saudi Arabia traveling around at night or interacting or being around civilians or whatnot, but I'm armed, you know, with my M16 and 203 grenade launcher as we checking different communication sites at night. And then I'm being, you know, paranoid, man, because, you know, even if it's the police, Saudi Arabian police following us. But I knew that I could not just open fire on these people or kill these people. If I'm going to use that gun, I better be sure. I better be sure. But I was in a war zone. So that's why I had live fire. And that is why I say in the USA, it's a battleground out there. Because there's war being waged on people, slave catching going on to keep feeding the system of slavery that was never abolished. So, I mean, just so many different angles. If you have any thoughts about the story, definitely you can share them with us. I'll give out the numbers. But the other story that I want to look at is somewhere in Texas, not sure of the little town. But you had a sheriff's deputy who reportedly got drunk. He looked drunk in the video, but that's no excuse. And then he drove, so he broke the law right there, drinking and driving. But he drove to a church in a predominantly black community and shot the building up. Now, I hesitate to say that this was a black church or this pastor who was talking this forgiveness stuff and giving, you know, excuses for criminality when if you want to talk about it from a Christian perspective or what the Bible say the laws for those who break it. You can forgive people, but that's why they got prison ministries, and you can visit him while he in jail and counsel him, you know, his spirit or whatever, if he will see you. But this forgiving stuff for crimes, and this pastor don't have no right to just cause he didn't file a criminal complaint. Anybody in that community where that church is, that was an attack on the community, and he used racial epithets like being angry about the black coons. See, he's sounding like Sheriff David Clark up there who be on CNN and Fox News talking about Black Lives Matter is black scum that need to be eradicated, you know. So this is what this deputy race soldier did, was he went to a church. He didn't go to the hood where, you know, allegedly there might be some hardcore gangbangers who don't care about life in general and what have you. You know, he didn't go after them. He didn't go shoot up a drug house or something like that, being, you know, run by heavily armed, quote unquote, gangbangers or whatnot. No, he drove to a church. Now, thankfully, you know, it appears to have been at night or when a church wasn't in service. But what is this fetish that these race soldiers have for black churches? It's like they seeing the black church as the heart of the black community. Well, that ship then sailed. Not victim blaming and what have you, but that ship has sailed. The black church is a community within itself. Now, don't want to sweep all churches and pastors under, you know, with a broad brush, because there are some that I know that really do engage in helping people out there in the street, whether it's feeding them, clothing them, providing them with a place to live. You know, there is charity going on, but there is no organization in terms of combating, you know, racism and white supremacy. In that system, it's too much quickness to forgive, and you know, that's okay. You can forgive, but this person still has to be arrested, and it ain't on the pastor. The officers, any officer who responded and found this man in the parking lot shooting at a church like a madman, any of them could have charged him with being a menace to society. But they didn't. They didn't. And he was never charged with anything, even though he admitted to these crimes. It's on video. We'll hear it in just a second. He admits to these crimes. then I'm not sure if it's the prosecutor that is in that county or a neighboring county, but he makes accurate statement in saying this is why people claim that there are two justice systems, one for the rich and powerful, like, you know, the Hillary Clintons and the Donald Trumps. And then there is the criminal justice system for the rest of us. But then there's also that one for the people who's in the slave catchers club. And all of these cops not being held accountable. This is a prosecutor said. He said, nah, you know, you just validated their argument. That there's justice for some and justice for the, you know, non-justice for others. But I don't, if he's the prosecutor in that county, he don't need a cop to charge him. You have video evidence of him admitting to the crime, so, you know, I don't know what's going on there, but I suspect that somebody is trying to pull one over on the community. The sheriff even has power to charge this man. And he's still on the force, but again, this is still a developing story. Believe me, if the community and people do not rise up and make their voices and their will known and enforce their will, this dude will stay on the slave catcher's force. Yeah, he's calling them black coons. And so how long till, you know, one of these slave catching expeditions that they go on turns deadly, like we just witnessed in, you know, from in Baltimore County, where 23-year-old mother Corinne Gaines was shot and killed, and a 5-year-old son shot and thankfully recovering. So I want to focus on those two stories. Also, someone contacted the show through the platform or through the show page, where you can email any of the programs easily by, you know, just doing it online. But I have a book recommendation for a listener who mentioned the topic about that I discussed the other day about Captain Khan's parents in the media playing their role in the political theater we're seeing, you know, with them versus Donald Trump. I want to share that letter with you, of course, anonymously, and give you the recommendations he made for fighting and winning the war. So you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. What I want to do is take a short station identification break, just a little early, so we can pick up some calls, listen to some of these videos, and just get through the show in an efficient manner. It is the first of the month. Let me mention that, you know, second day of the month, I should say. And so the reports have been generated for the month of June for the media operations of Black Talk Media Project. So I need to really just be efficient with my time and get those out in a timely manner, and also have good news to report. And, you know, those who have donated and are, in fact, contributors and have a stake in Black Talk Radio and all the other media that we produce can see the performance, how their investment is performing in the market for independent black media. So stay tuned. We will be back on the other side of this break, and I'll see the phone caller. We'll go straight to you. Oh, yeah, I forgot to give out the phone numbers, didn't I? Excuse me. For those that are not on Black Talk Radio Network listening, grab a pen. Here is the phone number. It is 641-715-3660. Participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1. I will bring you on air. The studio line, of course, is 704-951-5030. You can also use the web-based flash phone. That's a free call from anywhere in the world. Obviously, you need a pair of headsets. You can hit us up through Skype. That is Black Talk Radio Network. That's Black Talk Radio Network. So stay tuned. We will be back and go to this phone call and jump into this first video about attempted slave catching that happened, that also injured a 5-year-old child, and try to, you know, just look at it objectively.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News Broadcasting on the Black Talk Radio Network, which is new black media for the new millennium. Make sure you tell a friend, pull it up. If they got the TuneIn app on their smartphone or iPad or whatever they got in their vehicle, pull up their TuneIn app and just tell them or help them do a search for Black Talk Radio Network or simply Black Talk Radio. You can also find the individual programs that you hear on this station. Just search for their titles. Do a search on TuneIn for their titles. You can find a podcast. Many of the podcasts are also on Stitcher. So just do a general web search and you'll find any of the program being widely distributed as far as possible. Indeed, we have a global audience. Now, so let's get back to this story here. First story we want to take a look at. Again, last night in Baltimore County, Maryland, 23-year-old mother Corinne Gaines was shot and killed in her apartment, and her 5-year-old son was shot, and he is reportedly recovering from non-life-threatening gunshot injuries. Again, these facts are not in dispute. Again, we know this much. These are not in dispute. Now, what occurred inside the apartment, you know, I'm hearing from the alternative media, but then I'm hearing from people who know the family. And, you know, so I also know, you know, that police lie on their reports. Look at the black cop who was never charged as an accessory in the murder of Walter Scott, and he filed that false police report backing up Michael Slager, who trial is coming up here soon. So who do you believe? But that's not in dispute. You know, this 5-year-old child did not do anything that anyone could say, you know, is a legitimate reason for putting this child's life in danger like that, unless his life didn't matter. And that's what you're telling me, then it makes sense. Then, you know, if I look at it in that context, then, you know, your comments are logical that I'm seeing out there. So let's go to area code 561. Thank you for hanging on. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, what's going on, Scotty? It's Sam, South Florida. How you doing?
Hey, man.
I know.
What can
you're
I
hanging
say?
In there, man. I didn't even know anything about the incident that happened last night in Baltimore. You know, because I unplugged from the TV. I even unplugged from the internet. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, there's things that's going on that you need to know about. But then again, what do you trust? So glad, just want to thank you for that information, for tuning me in, and tragedy. I was just speaking to somebody about this too, saying that, you know, in a couple more days it's going to be something else where the police have killed one of us in the streets for no reason. You know what I mean?
I mean, Malcolm X Grassroots Center said every 28 hours, and I would say it's probably under 28 hours now. And that's just black people. That's not even including all the other people, you know? So I would say it's about two or three people getting killed by police a day.
And you know, I tell people, you know, that I talk to, tell them not to take it personal, not to, you know, get mad at me for the things that I'm gonna say, but everything that's coming out of my mouth is real. At least it's real to me. I just tell them, if you want to understand, because I talk to them and they say, I can't understand why they're killing us like this, and you know, and like the incident you mentioned with the sheriff. Yeah, he went and shot up the church of all places. You know what I mean? But I tell them, if you want to understand white people and how, you know, how they act and their history, and I tell them, go turn on a horror movie. Go turn on a typical American horror movie and watch it, and watch how they go along with their days. Watch how they, you know, trying not to notice things that are actually going on. Just the whole thing with the movie. And, you know, of course it's fiction, but at the same time it's not. I found that when you get to know a lot of white people, when you get to know their families and, you know, just normal everyday actions, they really do act like these horror movies. Not being, trying to be funny or facetious or anything, but they do. And it's helped me tremendously in understanding who they are and what they are. Like, I understand when I hear stories like you said with the sheriff, I understand that. He can't shake loose his racism. He can't. I don't know anything about the story. I don't know the fella. But I'm willing to bet he's probably raised in a racist environment, raised in an environment where, you know, comes from a people that either they had slaves or they wanted to have slaves. You know, it was a part of their life. It was a part of their life. And generations ahead, we have with this guy going to shoot up a church. He ain't gonna go into the hood. He's not gonna go anywhere where he sees a lot of brothers out or whatever. He's not gonna do that because it's an easy mark. It's just not about killing for me. It's about brutalizing and subjugating them.
Terrorizing.
They can't subjugate.
He terrorists. Terrorized. He one of them white terrorists that the FBI described in the report. I mean, he called them black coons and what have you. And so, I mean, come on. What is that? That's blatant in your face. Racism, white supremacy, race soldier operating under as a ghost skin under the color of you know, the uniform.
Of the uniform. That's right. Hiding behind the FOP. And, you know, for us, that young lady that lost her life, my heart goes out to her, her family. You know, it's so many of us. I put her in my category. Like, my history, right now, if they wanted to pinpoint me and come and find me, they can't. And they don't know exactly where. They got some addresses. They have, you know, little things. They would have to put in some money and some time and some effort to find me. And I plan on living my life like this the rest of my life because of that. Down here in Florida, they do the same thing. And they come, it doesn't matter if it's a traffic citation, a bench warrant, violation of parole or probation, they treat it all the same. They geared up, got masks on, got high-tech weaponry, and they even bring out the, I forget what the vehicle is called, but it's like a, it's kind of like it's a Hummer type
personnel
vehicle,
but carrier.
It's an amphibious
it's
vehicle as well. They bring that out, paddy wagons, and it's just like I said. You have so many of those that are like me, like the young lady that we stuck in the system. We realize something wrong, but we can't fix it. So it's like, man, I'm just waiting on it, and I just my heart go out for them. My heart go out to her family. We need to wake up. We need to start seeing these white people for who they are. To me, they're evil. If you can show me you're not evil, then we can go from there. Until then, all of them are. And until we start seeing the police as just that, an extension of evil against us, I think these situations are going to happen regardless till it stops, till slavery is abolished, till, you know, every white supremacist is either checked or gotten rid of. But what's going to help the process is that we wake up and stop looking to them for answers, looking to them for jobs, just unplug from everything almost.
How about stop helping them?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard not being a proxy when you were born in it. It's hard, but that's what we have to do. And like I always say, Scott, I don't mean to take up so much time, man, but I really, really, really appreciate you, brother. And
thank you.
Let's keep it up, man. I'm tuned out. I'm ready to listen to some more of you.
All right, thanks.
Have a good day, man.
You too. Be safe. All right, I found this video on YouTube. Again, this story
Q&A queue is cleared.
Is still developing, and even if I accept, you know, that she wanted to commit Mecca, that she was fed up into that point, you know, that's her decision. It ain't for me to criticize. If that's true, that's VGQ. That's a victim, you know what I'm saying, what I call a victim qualified statement, but it would certainly, I have to say, is incorrect to commit Mecca with a child in your presence or in the room or something. You want to commit Mecca unless you have some willing adults or what have you. You know, that's just wrong. And we have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge that. But again, I don't know what her mental state was after reported years of harassment by cops. I don't know. I'm not her. I didn't live her day-to-day experience, but I do know for anyone to act like that, they are reacting to the extreme pressure that they are under. This is not, people don't commit Mecca and just say F it, and I'm not participating. I'm not going to be a slave today. Not even Scotty Reed, because Scotty Reed has missed court dates. They just sent one sheriff deputy after 6 months or so. If I'm here, I'm here. If I'm not, I'm not. I go. You know what I'm saying? It was not a bad experience or whatnot. So I allowed them to you know, catch me as a slave and what have you. I just didn't get sent to the big plantation. And I was out because, you know, it was something minor. But anyway, you know, I can't speak on, you know, how people resist in this war or whatnot. Obviously, it didn't matter to her. If it's true that she barricaded herself in the apartment, which would make sense of why SWAT was called there, and I'm looking at the video that Sean King posted of her, I think it was Sean King, that somebody got a hold of the video of her recording. It shows the SWAT officer, like, you know, like hugging a wall, but pointing his weapon at her. Okay, so, I mean, we got to be logical. If I'm in that cop's situation, you know what I'm saying? If I got a job to do, that's why I can't be a slave catcher. That's why I regret being, you know, a soldier in the U.S. military and whatnot. But I'm still thinking, you know, because some of these people, cops I come across, man, some of them be kids, they be scared, what have you. They don't know what they actually doing is slave catching. They think they doing something good, but I mean, come on, they act like they on under a time constraint, you know, or they looking to set a record or how quick they end this standoff or something. Like, you got to barge in, like, you don't call out social workers and negotiate for hours if need be until, you know, the morning you got a child in there. You know, they went in there, and from this one news report, it's saying that the police have admitted to firing the first shot. So again, you go in there live firing into a room with a woman sitting on cross-legged, Indian, you know, style, as they say, with perhaps a shotgun allegedly, or again, the family people are saying that that's a lie. But if we accept that police version, and she had this, obviously she wasn't shooting at you. The only thing she was shooting was video. So if it's laying across her lap, she's not pointing the weapon at you. There's no threat for her to fire. You know, you could continue to negotiate. You could bring a woman. You could, you know, get a family member to talk her down from committing, you know, Mecca or suicide by cop or whatever. But I mean, it's like, the child's life didn't matter to nobody on the law enforcement side. You couldn't have got me to do that. I'm telling you, you couldn't. I was asking these questions as a young soldier. Look, if they called us out to put down this rebellion in Los Angeles, you know, after they done let these cops who beat Rodney King go down like that, and they gave us some live fire, and they would say fire on these people, would you do it? you know, I asked that question because I was thinking about it. I was like, no, I couldn't do it. That's what these cops are doing, though. There was no request from the captain or the sergeant or anybody to do in charge of, hey, you know, there's a child in there. Do you think it's wise for me to go in there with, you know, these live, you know, rounds? And don't we got some rubber bullets in the armory, or don't we got some beanbags, shotguns or something? For God's sake, there's a child in the house. And then this apartment complex. What about the bullet going through the walls? And do are we sure we got everybody out? Make sure, you know, since we're going to go in here and gunning, you know, we don't want to wait her out. So, I mean, it's just totally inexcusable. But let's take a quick listen to this this video that was uploaded 3 hours ago. From the undergroundworldnews.com. I have not screened this, so, you know, as we listen to any type of media, or consume any, especially news media, we need to be making sure that, you know, it's always going to be an attempt to practice racism through propaganda and what have you. You know, there's always that chance. Not saying it's always the case, but it's always that chance. So you don't want to be confused. Let's take a listen to this video.
This is Dabu 7. Want to share with you guys some video clips here in regards to Corin Gaines. And for those of you who may not have heard about this, this is an incident that happened in Baltimore, where a woman that you see here and her son were both shot. She was killed by police after they say she pulled a gun and pointed it at them after they entered the home. Now, I just wanted to share this video clip because I believe that this was one of the reasons they were showing up, because of this stop that she had filmed. And I wanted to share the footage. There's also footage of her loading up a shotgun as they entered. And what's interesting is they went to remove a lot of this footage. They were showing up to serve a warrant. The guy that was there fled. Apparently she was there. You can watch all the video clips. And then you could see that she was preparing, that if anyone came in her home, that she was going to defend herself. She was loading up a gun. And then comes the question, did the cops have body cams? That's what says a lot of the time. And what I noticed instantly on Facebook and over on Instagram, and you can see it here. There's the video of the boy, but here of the cop, it is unavailable. So over on my backup channel, Dabu777, I have uploaded this video. Because now it's removed from all the social media sites. It shows this officer standing there, or SWAT type of officer with a military style helmet that has a camera built into the helmet. So it's key that people realize that that footage is out there and that people see it. For whatever reason, for what it's worth, they wanted to remove it quickly. And it came right after people were questioning, was there body cam footage? And sure enough, he had a built-in helmet cam on him, as you can see right there. So, when they start trying to remove stuff, those are the biggest red flags to me. You have to pay attention to it. I'm going to run some video clips here.
Can get your wish. When you put your hands on me, I promise you, you will okay, have to murder me. You will have to murder me. So go ahead and get ready to do that. You will have to kill me. I promise.
What's happening right now? Who's outside?
For some reason, the audio cut out. He may have muted that because she's talking to the child and asking who's out there. Now they're showing footage because she was live streaming this on Facebook. So, you know, again, I'm going to go ahead and share this video to our Facebook page. But we had shared the raw video of the cop as he described with the military gear on, and he's standing there hugging the wall, pointing a weapon at them. And the child is like just feet away. So, again, this woman, obviously under tremendous stress, she probably had enough. I can't speak for her mental state, but I do know, you know, there was a child to be considered. And even if you take the view that she was being a bad parent, and why would she do that and put her child at risk? Well, again, why would the SWAT team do what they did and put the child at risk? They knew coming in. Earlier reports were saying that, you know, they were trying to serve the warrant, but they could hear, they were trying to hide and be quiet, but they could hear the little boy crying or something. You know, they said it was a baby, but the child is like 5 years old. So they knew it was a child. They got the key from the landlord. I'm sure the landlord told them about the child and lived there as a residence. So you go in there in a situation like that with live fire, with the intent to kill. Even knowing a five-year-old could die as a result. That ain't no hero activity. This is why I'm saying cops do not be putting their lives on the line to save no damn body. Not even this five-year-old child. You know, a lot of these killings are unnecessary. And if I'm going to sign up for something, like I signed up in the United States military, but, you know, I'm just not supposed to be a cold-blooded killer like that, or just be so careless and reckless. I don't care about that child in that crib. I don't care. You know, I'm going in there. I'm take this person down quick. Might get a promotion out of it. You know what I'm saying? This is the mentality of these people. Not trying to say the woman was mentally ill. I don't know her. I don't know if she was under any medication or anything like that, but I bet they didn't either. As we saw the cop in Miami, you know, trying to shoot and kill the man with autism, playing with a train in the middle of a fire engine toy car in the middle of the street. And then, you know, with his therapist with his hands up talking about don't shoot. And they shot and missed the autism. See what I'm saying, man? Then people wonder why places like Dallas will happen. Places like Baton Rouge, or if you just go all throughout history. So, you know, this isn't hard to figure out. If you're being objective about it, you know, in a position as a police chief or a commander of the SWAT unit or something like this, this was the wrong response. You should resign right now because you're incompetent. You failed at your duty to protect the life of this 5-year-old child. Irregardless of what the adult was doing, you had a duty to save the life of this child. Instead, you acted like his life didn't matter, put his life at risk, and now he's in a hospital recovering from a gunshot wound. So I don't see how you can excuse that. Let me see the next story I want to jump to. Do a quick check of the phone lines. Okay, again, if you would like to comment, hit us up at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#. *6 and 1 to comment on air. The studio line 704-951-5030. Again, that's 704-951-5030. Okay, let's move on to this next story of this sheriff's deputy in Texas. Hopefully this clip I'm about to play will tell us where in Texas, but the killing, where the sheriff deputy allegedly got drunk, admittedly drove to a church in a predominantly black community and shot the building up. The deputy referred to being angry about the Dallas slave catchers catching bullets, and he was talking about these black coons and what have you. So, you know, I guess he associate black coons with black churches. That's funny, cause some black people do too, but you know, I'm not one of those. I'm not into that kind of name calling, but you know, but he said that, you know, he was angry about black coons. I don't know if he was calling Black Lives Matter coons. I don't know if he was calling black people in general coons, or black people that just go to that church coons, or anybody who go to that church coons. All I know, the pastor could be white. You know, you got white pastors out there with predominantly black churches. So this black church pastor, you know, predominantly black church, I assume, said we've forgiven them and decline to file a criminal report. Well, I wonder if your insurance gonna go up when the insurance, you know, you go to file a claim to pay for the damage, unless the slave catchers then are taking up a fund to keep their fellow slave catcher out of jail and what have you. But anybody in that community could file a criminal complaint, and there's no excuse, because the prosecutor right now could file a criminal complaint. So let's give a listen to this story out of Texas.
Clarksville County Sheriff's deputy said he was drunk and angry over the ambush on Dallas police. He has been fired, but there are big questions about why he's not facing any criminal charges. Sean Rabb has the story you will see only on Fox 4. Sean.
So, Steve, one of the reasons he faces no charges is because the pastor of the church that was damaged didn't want to go through with charges. But the Ellis County District Attorney, where all of this played out, is furious tonight and feels 27-year-old William Cox was shown favoritism in how he was treated after his arrest.
Man, I'm sorry.
William Cox was a Somerville County Sheriff's deputy July 13th when he was crying and appeared drunk in the parking lot of an Ellis County church early in the morning. Ovilla officers responding to a 911 call for shots fired. This is Ovilla Police body cam. Cox tells the officer,
"Because my boys are getting killed in Dallas."
The deputy referring to the ambush attack that killed five officers July 7th in Dallas.
"The black coats started killing our boys in Dallas."
The Ovilla officer detains Cox, putting him in handcuffs until a sheriff's deputy arrived. Cox confessed he was upset over the police ambush, got very drunk, and had to let off stress. His stress relief was to fire guns in a residential neighborhood in the parking lot of the Shiloh Cumberland Presbyterian Church.
"Yeah, there's three shots here."
Church's pastor, Vernon Sansom, can be heard on the Ellis County deputy's recording. There was damage in the sanctuary of the church, where some of Cox's relatives are longtime members. Cox charged with deadly conduct and taken to Ellis County Jail. The same day Cox was arrested, the pastor signed what's called an affidavit of non-prosecution. Cox was released from jail the next day, never having to post bail. This was Cox when he was taken into custody. And this is the jail bookend photo of William Cox we received in open records request. A photograph of a brick wall. No picture of Cox, who once worked as a jailer in Ellis County. Not like other cases involving law enforcement, according to the Ellis County DA.
"Here's another former Ellis County Sheriff's Office, currently working in a different sheriff's department when he was booked into your jail. Here's the chief of the Maypearl Police Department who was arrested and booked into your jail. All of their damn pictures are on your system."
Law enforcement doesn't need a complainant in all cases to prosecute. Discretion leaves the final decision to the arresting agency.
"This, in my mind, is a tremendous abuse of that discretion. And in today's climate, it's inexcusable."
And Wilson, angry.
"I cannot understand how these facts escape the narrative of favoritism."
We contacted Ellis County Sheriff Johnny Brown. We wanted to talk to him about the Cox case and the circumstances surrounding it. But he told us that his department was through with it, that he had no dog in the hunt, and that he would have no comment. The district attorney says his office will conduct its own investigation now.
"The criticism that is being lobbed against law enforcement and the criminal justice system in general in our community, in our society today, the foundation of that criticism is what's illustrated in this case, and that is favoritism, that some people in the criminal justice system get treated differently. And how can I dispel that narrative when these facts completely support that?
Now, the Somerville County Sheriff's Department terminated Cox, who'd worked there since 2011 and was a model employee, immediately upon learning what happened. The chief deputy there telling me you can't get past shooting up a church. The pastor told me by phone today he didn't want charges filed because, Steve, it's all about forgiveness. Now, again, we called Sheriff Johnny Brown a second time, wanting to still give him an opportunity to respond to the suggestion of favoritism, and he did not call us back.
And he's the guy who says they got no dog into the hunt, but he clearly does. They're the investigative agency. Sean, let me ask you a question. If they choose not to get involved, you have on tape this Officer Cox saying, I'm sorry, I fired off shots, essentially a confession. Can't an agency up the line, maybe DPS or the Attorney General, take this over and step in?
So as we mentioned, the district attorney says he and his office will launch their own investigation. He's sending his chief investigators out to the pastor of the church, to Cox, and to look at all of the evidence. That is the same stuff we've acquired through open records. They'll make their own findings, and it is still possible this case will go to an Ellis County grand jury for ultimate deciding whether William Cox, who you see there in the back seat of that squad car, will face charges on deadly.
All right, so I mean, that video report right there, thank you, Fox, whatever the station was,
charged.
I'm not sure. Fox 4 down there in Texas, that was a non-white person who was given the report. I thought he did a very good job in laying out the facts and what have you, and a lot of questions were answered, because I'm thinking logically a little bit that I know about my interaction with the criminal justice system and knowing a little bit about how things work, is that a prosecutor has the power to prosecute. Now, again, I don't know if this prosecutor has the discretion to not even convene a grand jury and just charge the person outright. They don't always have to go to a grand jury. And we've seen in many cases, you know, especially when you have people in the community, whether they proxy racists or they are racist, and they don't want to hold these cops accountable. And so you keep seeing this across the land. We mentioned Baltimore earlier. And then you want to scratch your head as to why things like Dallas and Baton Rouge occur, or cops get shot and killed and targeted by people, and not just by black people. He want to call them black coon, talking about it. So he was talking about calling the shooter a black coon. So he's a racist. They didn't even mention that. He wasn't shot for being fired for being a racist. He was fired for shooting up a church, because you just can't get past that. You know what I'm saying? But no charges, you know. Well, again, the arresting officers, it seemed like the beat cops and everything did what they were supposed to do by arresting him and filing a criminal complaint. But again, like we saw in the case of George Zimmerman murdering Trayvon Martin, how, you know, the detectives who investigated that recommended that the George Zimmerman be prosecuted, and they were overruled by the state prosecutor. I forget his name. So again, we have more than one case we can point to show you how the system of slavery based on racism, white supremacy, is operating. And then you wonder why you have modern day Nat Turners. You're not thinking logically. People break under all this stress and seeing, you know, all of this murder and death at the hands of people who we're told through programming are our protectors and stuff like that. So, I mean, this dude is a racist. I wonder how many times he has charged somebody, you know, with a crime because they was black. So I don't want to hear nothing about he was emotional and he was sad and all that. Sometimes in those times, that's when the truth come out, in those unguarded moments of raw emotion. I mean, the Justice Department can even step in and charge this dude, but, you know, what's the point when 96% of the time they will rule that, you know, the officer did not violate anybody's civil rights, you know. Obviously, a building doesn't have any civil rights, but, you know, this was an attack on the entire community, not just a building. This was a message sent. So, you know, before I go off air, as I hit the top of the hour, again, I do need to get to work on some reports. I do want to pull up this email that was sent to me by one of the listeners who has a book recommendation, who also mentioned a topic that I discussed the other day about, you know, this political theater involving the dead Muslim soldier, the Captain Khan, who died in Iraq for a lie. And, you know, them going back and forth beefing with Donald Trump. I mean, I was so sick of seeing his parents, not sick of his parents and attacking them, but just sick of seeing their face in the same old song, you know, for like doggone 24, 48, I don't know, about 48 hours straight, man. I mean, I don't sit in front of the TV all day, but other people in the house may have it on CNN or may have it on Fox or whatever. But it seemed like every time I walked past the television, there he was talking about Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't vote for the Iraq war. Now, Donald Trump is a racist and a religious bigot and, you know, a liar, pathological liar, and a whole lot of other many things. But you know what? Hillary Clinton didn't have no problem having him as a friend socially. You know, they were golf buddies, Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. And in fact, they got a buddy in common. We were talking about on air yesterday in Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire pedophile, convicted pedophile, who only did a year. And he running some kind of sex slavery ring that Bill Clinton visited the island, and Donald Trump's being sued right now by a former sex slave who was a minor at the time. So, I mean, you know, it ain't just Donald Trump. It's the Clintons too. And so Clinton is quick to send, because Hillary Clinton, what people got to understand, she don't care nothing about people in uniform. She praises and admits to being mentored by what's the guy, Henry Kissinger, the former Secretary of State, who was quoted, Dave mentioned this on Tando Radio Show the other day, that military men are dogs. They're just dogs. Their lives mean nothing, to be thrown away and what have you. And if you read some of the reports of people who interacted with Hillary Clinton at the White House when Bill Clinton was president, she was very nasty to members of the military who might have been on guard there and stationed there at the, you know, White House, and also Secret Service. So for this man to say what he's saying in support of pushing Hillary Clinton as a client, as a candidate, when she voted for, you know, this lie and voted for every other lie that would result in war and people dying by the hundreds of thousands. I mean, this woman, when I see the memes of her with vampire fangs and blood dripping from them fangs, I mean, like, to me, that's like an accurate depiction of her. For real. Or somebody like CN was saying, from a horror movie with their hands dipped in blood, with blood, like, you know, they've been playing in it. That's Hillary Clinton. She voted to send Captain Khan off to Iraq in search of some phantom, you know, weapons of mass destruction. She did that. So, you know, it's just all political theater, man. You had to ask these questions. You had to be logical about it. Why is this man doing it? And I was talking to my mom the other day, because she was like saying, you know, these people are just really came here and he waving that Constitution around. And I can just tell he's really sincere in what he's saying. He just don't know the truth about how that Constitution has been implemented in this country in a racist, white supremacist, you know, fashion. He's believing a lie that this is the greatest country on earth. More, nobody's freer, nobody's braver, and what have you. And you know, like I said the other day, they son died for a lie. I could have died for a lie when I was in there. I survived. But now they allowing their son image to be pimped like that. Now, I obviously didn't want to keep watching this man on every, he was on Don Lemon. Anderson Cooper had him on. I don't know. I don't really see Fox on the TV too much, but, you know, but mainly CNN. He was on there, man, for like at least 36 hours straight, you know. So I was like, you know, this is, I mean, this is just part of the programming, and nobody's asking the obvious questions about bringing up Hillary voted. Well, I did see somebody bring that up the other day, so let me back up. But that, I mean, yeah, that is nothing but political theater. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, I don't know about Donald Trump, but because, you know, he hasn't operated in that people activity area of politics, which gives him access to war machine. But Hillary Clinton has wrought death and destruction on a global scale and would do so. And in some of her emails that have been released, you know, from the people that hacked her, she like willing to just sacrifice as many American, your sons and daughters as possible to overthrow Syria so Israel can feel secure. I mean, President Obama just gave them another big $1 billion record-breaking package, and then they talking about giving them some more while, you know, man. And all the people who need help in this country and they can't get no help. I'm telling you, it's just ridiculous. So I want to share that letter, and also, like I stated, the book recommendation. Let me pull up the letter. Let me see. Let me get some more light on this. All right, that's better. All right, this is from one of the listeners. Hello, Mr. Reed. Your comments about the Hamayan. I'm not, you know, good at foreign, you know, languages or whatnot, but I guess that's how you pronounce it. Hamayan Khan are similar in line with Rand Paul's comments on this item. His show is the Ron Paul, so that must have been a misprint. So you're talking about Ron Paul. Ron Paul Liberty Report. Mr. Khan was sacrificed for not the greater good, but for a lie. He put that in quotes as what Mr. Ron Paul had to say about it. I listen to them all and take notes daily, because if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy or yourself, you will succumb in every battle. That's a quote from The Art of War. That's the book recommendation. On your next episode, would you make a note to the listeners to please read The Art of War? It might be cliche, but like you say, we are in a war and behind enemy lines, and too many of us are not properly informed on how to start strengthening their defense and offense to survive and ultimately win this war. I have recently started reading these and other books to sharpen my mind and soul, working out diligently to strengthen my body, because this war is physical, cerebral, and spiritual. I have decided to go back to school to further my knowledge and looking to join you in holding the line. Your approach to fighting this war and winning is, and I quote again from The Art of War, for to win 100 victories and 100 battles is not the acme of skill. To subdue the enemy without fighting is the acme of skill. They have they have used every type of warfare against us, but the most harmful is the war information, propaganda, and misinformation. Please continue to hold the line. Backup is on the way, and you are not alone. So that is from a listener. So we appreciate that. Brother Dave on Tando Radio Show, which will be on air today at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, I think he shared the audio book on his program not that long ago. I'm pretty sure he did. But you can also, for those that don't have time to sit down and read, maybe that's, you know, whether it's an excuse or it's a valid reason, but you can listen to these books on audio while you multitasking and doing other things. You know what I'm saying? So audio books are good. So that is on YouTube as an audio book. That book again is The Art of War. And again, if you have any comments that you would like us to share, you can hit us up by email. Just go to my page for this program on blacktalkradionetwork.com. That is Black Talk Radio News with Scotty Reed. You'll find that in the tab. Click on there, and there is a comment form where you can send messages to me, the host, and hopefully we might be able to read it on air. So with that stated, we come to the conclusion of this program. Recognize the fact that you do in fact live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day. This is a war, in my opinion, based on slavery, but implemented in a racist white supremacist fashion. All right, but the evil is 400 and going on 500 plus years old, you know, of specifically targeting black people and non-white people for slavery. We dealing with modern slavery, and you know, you enslave people by force. You got to have, you know, the threat of force behind when you want to force your will upon another and take their free will, you know. So again, this is, I don't play around or not trying to sound cliche or anything like that when I say, in fact, it is Battlefield America out there. It's war being waged, and you know, man, you're gonna have to sharpen your skills. You're gonna have to build upon the work of others instead of staying stuck in the past. You need to update your war manuals. We should have new generals and stuff coming up with new strategies, and you know, incorporating things like, you know, from the Art of War or any other ancient, you know, tactics that have shown to work, man. But you know, it's the problem is getting the masses to unite on, let's say, you know, the same page, because you know, many of us don't even have the book, let alone on the same page, but don't even have the book. So how do we get them the book? Well, we're just simply talking about conveying information to the masses, and we are the mass media that targets our people the most is not controlled by us. So we got to come up with a counter for that, and that is what the Black Talk Radio Network is, and that is what other black media producers are attempting to do to counter the propaganda. But we need your support. We need your support. So with that said, y'all be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all. Again, Tando Radio Show is coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you tune in live or continue to listen to some of the pre-recorded programming that will be served to you by the Auto DJ. Peace and blessings to all.